You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A ceasefire ending Israel's 15-month war on Gaza went into effect on Sunday. The first stage of the ceasefire will last 6 weeks and involve a prisoner hostage exchange between Israel and Palestine, as well as a withdrawal of Israeli troops from all populated areas of Gaza. In recent days, 900 aid trucks have also been permitted entry into the Gaza Strip by Israel. The second stage involves a complete end to the war, while the third stage is focused on the reconstruction of Gaza. However, top government Israeli officials have said they reserve the right to resume the war if they feel they need to. Israel has also ramped up attacks in the Palestinian West Bank, which is not included in any ceasefire terms. 10 Palestinians were killed in a recent raid in Jenin, and an additional dozen, including medical staff, were wounded. I spoke to Palestine Solidarity Network Aotearoa's John Minto about the ceasefire and subsequent Israeli military activity. I started by asking about the positives to come out of the ceasefire agreement.
Well, the positives are for Palestinians. It means after 15 months of sort of daily bombardment and killing, they can now have a six-week reprieve, and they are able to get the humanitarian aid which they so desperately need into Gaza. So that's the immediate thing. So it's been celebrated by Palestinians in Gaza and right around the world. I think no one's under any illusions, though, that Israel will, I think, do its best at the end of the first round of the ceasefire agreement to actually go back to war with Hamas, and we'll end up with the same genocide just picking up again in 6 weeks' time.
As you say, Israel has indicated they reserve the right to continue shelling Gaza. How concerned are you that they'll break the ceasefire?
Oh, absolutely concerned. I think everybody is, because Israel has a long history of breaking ceasefire agreements. They'll go through, if you have a phased agreement, and most ceasefire agreements are phased agreements, they will go along with the first phase, but then when it suits them, they'll find a pretext and they'll say, oh, Hamas did this, therefore they've broken the ceasefire, therefore we're back at war. So Israel holds the cards here to do that, and unfortunately with Trump in the White House, it doesn't look like there'll be any, in fact, well, whether Biden or Trump is there in the White House, it doesn't look like America, which is funding this genocide and giving it active support, will do anything to stop Israel.
The ceasefire obviously doesn't extend to the West Bank. Are you concerned about Israel's continued actions there?
Absolutely. Not just Israel, but the Palestinian Authority, which are effectively Israel's security contractors in the Middle East. They have been conducting raids in places like Jenin, and now Israel has come in to do the same. So the Palestinian Authority is very deeply hated by many Palestinians in the occupied West Bank because they're doing the same job which Israel is doing, coming and suppressing Palestinian resistance and killing Palestinians who take part in active resistance to the occupation. So Palestinians are getting it both ways in the West Bank, and that's a huge concern to everybody.
You have criticised the New Zealand government's lack of support for Palestine in the past, but is there a role in supporting Palestine for our government to play now?
Well, there is, if the government chose to play it. There's an enormous role that New Zealand could play. But our government has shown no signs of wanting to do that. We're not even prepared to uphold our own adherence to the Genocide Convention, for example, which requires New Zealand to prevent and punish the crime of genocide. Our government has done nothing. It hasn't even condemned any of Israel's war crimes. And now we've got international human rights groups like Amnesty International, Médecins Sans Frontières, that's the Doctors Without Borders, and Human Rights Watch. So these are the biggest human rights organisations in the world telling us there is a genocide happening in Gaza, but our government is not doing anything to uphold its responsibilities under the Genocide Convention.
Are there governments New Zealand should be looking to who are holding their end of the bargain in terms of preventing and punishing genocide?
Well, I think all the countries that have joined South Africa's case at the International Court of Justice, the South Africa's case of genocide against Israel. I think they are all sort of putting their money where their mouth is, and just in the last few days, Cuba is the latest country to join. So there are maybe 10 or 12 countries now which have stood up and are holding Israel to account at the International Court of Justice. New Zealand should be there. And along with that, there's a whole raft of other things we should be doing. I mean, right in the middle of the genocide, New Zealand allowed our troops to go overseas to train alongside Israeli troops, who were fresh from the genocide in Gaza. And we didn't, we simply said, oh, well, it's not our role to invite people to these RIMPAC exercises. It's the US that invites countries. Well, frankly, New Zealand shouldn't have gone if we were going to be training alongside people who've come back fresh from a genocide.
And now, what will be your focus and the focus of Palestine Solidarity Network's advocacy for Palestine?
Well, I think particularly over the next 6 weeks, while the ceasefire holds, we certainly hope it holds all the way through the 6 weeks, we will be doing our best to shift, we're not giving up, but the focus of our work will shift from highlighting the genocide to encouraging people to be more active in the BDS action, the BDS campaigns. That's boycott, divestment and sanctions. So, you know, we are encouraging people to get actively involved in the consumer boycotts movement, which is developing here, getting the boycott app, BOYCOT app, which is run by the Palestinians, who are coordinating this international BDS effort. And also the divestment campaign to try and get New Zealand investment entities such as the Super Fund, the Accident Compensation Corporation, all our KiwiSaver providers, to get them to withdraw funds from Israeli companies. So there's a whole raft of things that we're encouraging our people to get involved in while the ceasefire continues.
That was Palestine Solidarity Network Aotearoa's John Minto on the ceasefire in Gaza, including the likelihood of its success and the subsequent Israeli military activity in the Palestinian West Bank.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.